Let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for thyself, for thy goodness and mercy, which are your grace is new and your mercies are so wonderful to us each and every day. And you are sweeter to us each and every day. We can't imagine how sweet you are. Lord, we ask that you would even deal in our hearts as we open your word, as our hearts are open to you, that we would let you do that wonderful, sweet work that only you can do, that we would leave this place with a better understanding and a greater love for you than we have even now. May you put your word together, your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and our minds, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message, Occupy with Questions. Question marks. Everybody in here is occupying a pew right now. And right now, I am occupying the pulpit. And occupying, we're talking about possession of what you have right now. But there's a deeper understanding, a deeper definition of occupy. This year, we have heard a lot about occupying. In the news headlines, we heard about in Afghanistan, for instance, one of the news headlines, Afghan government collapses as insurgents occupy presidential palace. That was big news. Somebody came in and took over, possessed and took over. January 6th, Capitol building. Capitol building occupied with groups of people. Big news. They came in and possessed it for a certain amount of time. Each of you in here right now is possessing that pew. You claimed it. But I'm going to go further than that. When you possess it, you came in, you took possession of it, and you occupied it. Occupy. Occupied. Are you really occupying it? Just because you're sitting here, does that mean you're occupying it? Have you heard of dead weight? Playing sports, we had people on our team. I've had people that were on the team. They occupied a position, but they didn't do anything. They had to be benched. Occupied. These people who have been occupying certain areas of the country, forcefully some without force. This didn't start with 1 second to go. This was a thought process that generated and it manifested itself into an action. An action that got tremendous publicity, right or wrong. That's what they did. It manifested itself in your thoughts, in your hearts also. That can happen to us. It can happen to us. The world is occupied with a lot of thoughts in their heads and hearts, even now. Are you vaccinated? Are you not vaccinated? Who is? Who isn't? What's coming next? How's the economy going to be? Occupy with it. I mean, they look at the news media and they bombard it and they let this occupy their minds. So much so that they get absorbed with it. It possesses them. and they can't determine which way to go, what to do. They live in fear, captivity. There are definitions of occupy. Let me get one out from, I don't want you to think that I made it up. Occupy, to take possession, to possess, to hold, or keep for use, to busy oneself, What's next? The world's thinking about. What are they going to let possess them? What or who are you going to let possess you? There's a two-way street on this occupy. Occupy. You may get in your mail, your snail mail, something addressed to the occupant. They assume, they don't know your name, but they assume that you reside there legally, that you reside there. So they send the mail to the occupant. When you're no longer in your body, there's no occupant there. If you're saved, you're with the Lord. If you're not saved, you weren't saved, you're not in a good place. When I did this study of occupancy, occupy, a whole lot of thoughts the Lord brought to my attention. And I want to tackle one area at a time to kind of like narrow it in so that when you see something saying occupy, you can relate to it, or unoccupied. There may be an empty space next to you in the pew. Someone may come and ask, is anybody sitting next to you? So that they are able to occupy that space. My question to you, does Christ occupy your heart? Do you have Christ in you? Some people here today do not have Christ in them. He does not occupy your heart. I said your heart, not your head. Intellectually, you may know. But if you don't know him personally, have not done business with him, he doesn't occupy you. Did you do business at Calvary's Cross? A sinner. I'm a sinner, a saved sinner. The Lord convicted me of my sin. I shared my testimony with you. And I was convicted. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for all of my sins, all of them, all of them. All the sins that I knew about, all the sins that I didn't know about. For me, a knucklehead, died for me. And it's, I don't get tired of saying it, and I never will. Salvation is so great, personally for me. And if you're saved, it's personally great for you also. The most important decision I ever made in my life. Jesus Christ died for all of my sins. He was buried and he rose again. He rose. And he lives within me. And he's coming back for me. Wow. I remember when my mom, shortly before she passed a couple years ago, I went back down to D.C., where I grew up at. And I told her, she's not saved. I was the only one in the family saved. Imagine that. I was the worst one in the family, as I told you before. My brother came over a couple of weeks to me, to my house to visit, and he told me something I didn't know. I was 2 years older than him, two grades ahead of him, and we were talking about junior high school. And he said, "Don't you remember the assistant principal?" I said, "Yeah, I remember him." He said, "Well, he introduced himself to, my brother introduced himself to the assistant principal. And the assistant principal said, 'Is James your brother?' He says, 'Yeah.' He said, 'Your brother didn't do you any favors.' He went back home and told my parents. My parents transferred him out because my reputation was, he wasn't going to get a good break. He died for me. Incredible. He died for you also. Did you do business at Calvary? Not just read in the Bible. You hear about it. Did you do business with them? It's not too late if you haven't done it. Turn to Galatians 2. I think Brother Ray shared this morning. Verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ occupies my heart. He occupies my heart. And he will not leave me or forsake me. He lives in my heart. He occupies it. That's a great thing. But there are two parts to that occupying. The opposite of Christ in you. Let's turn to Romans 8. In verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So if Christ is not occupying your heart, you're not a child of God. You're not. You can argue all you want. You can come to church 50 million times. You can carry your Bible. You can sing hymns. You can pass out tracts. You can do all kinds of things that you think are right. Get the charities, all kinds of there's only one way. Only one way. You got to do business at Calvary. And it's not going to change for you. You have to make that decision. And then God, Christ, will abide, occupy your heart. Turn to Luke 19. And starting with verse 12, I'll read. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." And this is the verse I want you to pay attention to. Verse 13. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come.'" Does that mean today? Go to church. Read your Bible. It's good. Is that all there is to it? No. There's more to it. Let's take another look at the definition of occupy. Not only to possess the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. But use what God has given you to glorify Him. God is occupied in your heart. Are you occupied with God in your heart? Are you letting Him do that work? Are you going about the business of possessing what God has given you? God has saved you. If He saved you, He's given you certain things, talents perhaps. What are you doing with it? Are you letting God work in your heart? Are you letting Him do the business that only He can do? God didn't give any of us excuses. I can't do this. I can't. Sure, you can't. Christ in you can. Let Him. Let God be God. When you came to know the Lord, you were empty of yourself. You knew you couldn't do it. So once you're saved and Christ is in you, you think you can do it without Him? You can go on without Him? No, you can't. You can't. Don't fool yourself. Take it from a knucklehead. Don't fool yourself. I tried all kinds of tricks growing up, streetwise and things I'm not proud of. But I know when I was beaten. I know. You can't. You can't do it without God. You can't. There's no way possible. And don't even waste your time doing it. Don't be foolish doing it, trying to. When we are occupying God, we are not really dealing with life situations. Situations in your life, your health, the economy, the world situations. You're not dealing with those situations when God is occupying you. But we are dealing with God in our life situations to glorify Him. So if you're going through a situation, let God be God. Let Him do that work. Glorify Him. Don't let the life situations throw you astride, thinking that, oh, I can't do this. Christ in you can. When you start thinking about yourself, you're not occupied with God. You're not occupying. You're trying to do it on your own. And God is right there to help you, to help us. And you're saying, no, I can do this on my own. You can't. You can't. God has told us in His word, you can't, so why be stupid about it? God gives all of Himself for you, and He expects you to give all of yourself to Him. When He went to the cross, He gave all of Himself to you. He didn't go, well, maybe I'll go die part way and do this and get off. No. He went through all kinds of things that we would never go through. Separation from God. He suffered for all of our sins. He loved us that much. You know, I can think of people before I was saved, I wouldn't do anything for them because I didn't particularly care for them. But God died for them too, died for me. If He can die for my sins, I know He can die for yours. He did. He did. And the song is still sweeter, sweeter than it was before. God wants to enjoy Himself in our lives being Himself. He enjoys that. God's abiding in us, and we are abiding in him. Let God work it out. Let him use you. Let him develop those. What God wants to do in your life. I don't know what he wants to do. Let him do it. Surrender to him. Don't hold back. God is committed to his children. Are you committed to him? God didn't turn back from the cross. He's not going to turn back from his children, situations in your lives, very hard situations. God knows all about it. He's occupying your heart. Are you occupying with him? Are you letting him do that work that only he can do? Only he can do it. Sometimes we think, oh, I've grown so much in the Lord, I can do this my own self. You can't. You can't. Don't be ignorant. Don't be sinful. My question to you and me, another question. Are we occupied with the Lord until he comes? Until he comes. Well, today I'll be occupied with him. I'll let him do this, or in that situation that comes, I'll let him handle that situation. I'll let him work that out in my life. But tomorrow I'll take a day off and I'll just do what I want to do. But I won't go too far from him. That old nature's there. We have that old nature. If you're not saved, you don't understand what I'm talking about. There's still room at the cross for you. There's still room. Do business with him before it's too late. Don't be ashamed. When God gets a hold of your heart, he does a work that you can't. All you can do is say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Are we occupied with the Lord until he comes? Or are you preoccupied? Other things are on your mind. Some people come here. They open the Bible. They sit. But they're not really occupied with the Lord. Their mind is somewhere else. Their thoughts are somewhere else. They're looking out the window. Or they will take their Bible and study something different from where we are in the Bible. They're not on the same page. They're going through the motions. Like I said before, they're playing church. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play. You know, my playing stopped at Calvary's cross. It did. It did. To those of you who don't know the Lord, you do not know him personally. He does not occupy you, your heart. Please do business with him. Don't let your pride or sin hold you back. Somebody say, who's that guy talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. I had an opportunity to share with a fella a couple years ago, was in here during prayer meeting night, and he walked out through that door over there. And Tim Collins stood up and started walking to the back, and he looked up at me in the balcony, and I didn't know what was going on. So I went out and talked to the guy, and he was kind of distraught. And he wanted to come back in here. And I knew that it wasn't a good time for him to come back in here because it wouldn't have been a good scene. So he started telling me about his background. And he was telling me all kinds of things. And I said, excuse me, let me finish this. I know where you're coming from. Oh, you don't know, you don't know. That's what he was saying. I'm putting it nicely. And he quieted down. And I shared with him. His eyes popped out. He said, you do understand what I'm talking about. I said, yeah, I've been there. And I said, I shared my testimony with him. He said, you know what, it feels like I've known you for 10 years. Because the things that I was sharing with him was personal to him. He says, I want to go back in and pray. I said, we don't have to go back in there. We can do it right outside here in this truck. He had a pickup truck, and we prayed outside. I don't know what he did with it. But if you don't know the Lord, do business with him. Do business with him. I mean, he died for you. I wouldn't die for you. It wouldn't do you any good anyway. Wouldn't do you any good. But he died for you. He died for me. For all of our sins. The sins that you had committed. The sins that you will do after you're saved. Sins that you know about. Sins that you don't even know about. He died for all of them. Think about your sins. Think about your life. Don't think about the person next to you. Think about your life. Now, those who know the Lord, God has occupied your heart. There's got to be a tremendous difference, tremendous change. Not only that, when you occupy yourself with the Lord and let him do that work in your heart, he's done certain things, provided you with certain talents or whatever. Let God do that. Glorify him. What are you doing with what God has given you? What am I doing with what God has given me? Am I letting God be God in my life? Personally. Personally. Not intellectually. Personally. What is he doing? What are you letting him do? He occupies your heart. Are you occupying with him? Doing business with him, possessing what God has given us in his word. Are you at home with the Lord? Are you at home with the Lord? Is he at home in you? There's a difference. Oh, wow, I'm at home with the Lord. Oh, what does he say about that? Is he at home in your heart? He may be in your heart, but does he feel at home? Are you letting him? Are you letting him occupy your heart? Are you occupying him? Taking full advantage of God in your heart. Not just sitting there, but letting God possess you. You possess God. Possessing him and doing business with him. God wants to do business with us. Surely he does. Do we do business with him? You've heard the expression, make yourself at home. Sometimes you can go over a person's house and still make yourself at home. You know, but they mean that, but it's not your home, so you don't feel, you try to maybe walk around bare feet, but you can't do that. I mean, they mean it, but how does that work with you? Does God feel at home in your heart? Do you feel at home with God in your heart? Are you comfortable with God in your heart, occupying your heart, even though you're saved? Remember, I said, if you're not saved, you don't understand what I'm talking about, but there's still time. There's still room at the cross. Then you will understand when you do business, when God occupies your heart, and you let him do that, you will understand what I'm talking about. It's not me. It's God, the Holy Spirit. Does God's truth possess me? We read God's word. You hear God's word. By the way, when you're reading your Bible, please keep your Bible open. Some people have a tendency to read God's word, close it, and just listen. That's a dangerous thing. Because you could get into a point where you're listening to somebody else and they get a Bible and they're reading the wrong thing and not reading from the Bible, and you take it upon yourself to think, well, I trust that person. You better do it yourself along with our reading. Don't rely on it. What do you do at home on your devotion? Do you have somebody read to you, or do you read yourself? Take God's word. Let God's word occupy your heart. Word for word. Read his word. Let his word sing to your heart. Let it sing to your heart. When God is occupying your heart, wow. He sings better than the choir, any angels, just sings better than that. Always on tune. Are we in harmony with God and his word? Does God's truth possess me, or am I going through the motions? Am I going through the motions? Just sitting here, listening. Right now, are you letting God occupy your mind, your heart? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, dealing with your heart, are you engaged, actively engaged with him, letting him do that wonderful, wonderful work that only he can do? Let him do it. Don't shut him out. You're the loser if you do. Don't be preoccupied with your health, your economy, the world situation. God is speaking to you. We come in here at times with different things that are we're dealing with. But don't let those things in your life, even when you leave here, dominate you. Let God in your heart, who occupies your heart, occupy with him. Possess him. Do business with him. All these things on earth will surely what? It won't be around. Why get distraught about those things that won't be here? When God saved us, he didn't tell us to, he said, occupy till I come. He didn't say, well, watch the world situation, watch the economy, be careful the elections, be careful this and that. He didn't say that. He said, occupy. Occupy. Do business with him. Possess what he's given us. Possess. He's given up himself, all of himself to us. Possess. Possess. We have all the resources that we need in Christ. Make yourself available, your heart, occupy with him. Is it settled in you and me before God? Have you settled things with him? Are there unconfessed sins that you need to settle? You're not saved. It's time to do business with him. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I've said this before. Athletes get hurt and they say, well, they'll be out day to day. Everybody's day to day. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the next 5 minutes. So why put off what you can do right now? Before the cross of Calvary, if you're not saved. Unconfessed sin, you know about it. God can't occupy, you can't occupy God at the same time. You can't. You can't serve two masters. You can't. You can't serve that old nature and God at the same time. You can't. You can't. You're one miserable person. I remember about 40 years ago when I was 10 years old. My math's kind of bad, but I was in the martial arts, and it was back in the day. It's not like it is today. Today it's kind of it's different. But when we were going through training, I had one training session with the instructor, and he was telling me to do a certain movement. And I had to do it. He taught me. And he'd walk away. Another instructor would come over and say, show me the move. And he said, that's not the way. Do it this way. So I would do it that way. He'd leave. The other guy that taught me the first time came back. Show me the move. And I did it. I didn't teach it. It's two different people. And I was frustrated. Boy, I was frustrated. I wasn't saved. I was frustrated. But I realized what they were doing. They were playing me to see if I was going to stay with the group or what. Testing to see if I was going to quit. I figured it out, though, peacefully. Have you settled everything with God, or you want to debate him? Debate him with issues in your life. Well, I don't want to do this, but I don't understand that. Oh, wow. Why do you want to debate with God? God is saved. He's occupying your heart, wants to do a work in your heart, but you want to debate him. That doesn't make sense at all. Not at all. God, what would you have me to do? That's not a debate. That's on my knees in my heart. God, you occupy me. I want you to do that work in my life. What do you want me to do? Ephesians 2. And I think Brother Ray went over this morning also, starting with verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. For those who don't know the Lord, it's a gift. It's grace, his grace. His grace. Not by your intellect, his grace. Well, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants to do that work. He's occupying our heart, if you're saved. Occupying. He's not just sitting there. He's doing a work. He wants to do a work. Will we let him? Will we occupy ourselves with him? Will we submit ourselves to him? God is doing a tremendous work in our hearts. Are we glorifying him? Or are we debating him? Only if I let God get involved do I occupy until he comes. God wants to do a work in my heart. He wants to do a work in your heart also. But if I don't let him, he can't do that work. and we the loser. We're not glorifying him. We're arguing. We want to debate him. Our pride thinks that we know more of that situation that God doesn't know. God knew you before you were born. He knows everything about us. What will happen tomorrow, next 10 years if we're still here? Trust him. Trust him. He's not going to forsake you. He loves you. Do business with him. Possess what God has given you. Occupy yourself with him. Turn to John 3. In verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. I got to bow out. I got to bow out and let God be God. Increase. Pastor at times takes a glass of water and a pitcher and he pours into it, representing God, the Holy Spirit, filling you till it gets to the top. Sometimes it may overflow. But if you're full of God's Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, you don't have room for debates or fears or anything else. You're fully occupied with him. Don't give space to those things that will take you off the path that God has provided for you. Are we allowing God to occupy our whole being? Our whole being. God, you can handle this part of my life. I'll let you do it. But the other part, no. I don't want you touching that part. Sometimes you may say, well, it's going to hurt. Well, God knows what's best. Things that happen in my life, they hurt. God knows what's best. Things have happened in your life that hurt. Been tremendous pain. There are people who want to be here and can't be here. But God is occupying their hearts. They're letting God occupy them right where they are in their hearts. Take possession of what God has given you and do business. You're a child of God. Possess. Possess the life that God has given you. That it lives within your heart and do business. Don't hide it. If God's doing a work in your heart, you can't hide that. You can't hide it. You can't buy it. You couldn't hide it if you tried. You couldn't. You can't. Impossible. If God is occupying your heart, and you are a believer, then be one. Be a believing believer. A believing believer, letting God occupy your heart. And you are occupying what God has given you. You're possessing and doing business with God at the same time. Let God's word dictate and dominate your heart. Don't turn to the media. Don't turn to certain other things and let them dominate you. The medical reports, the media. Don't. Let God's word dominate your heart. Feed on God's word. Let God's word occupy your heart. Get occupied with his word. Don't get preoccupied. Well, I've heard this before. That's not true. I can do it better than God. Oh, don't do that. Don't show how ignorant you are when you do that. How foolish you are. You can't serve two masters at the same time. Like I told you in the martial arts, I couldn't handle two people telling me to do different things. You can't handle the Holy Spirit speaking to you and your old nature. But if you're saved, you can make that decision. As Ray said today, and as God's word said, it's not me, it's not Ray, it's not George. It's what God's word is saying. Let God be God. And like I said before, just because you're sitting here, you're occupying a seat in the pew, or people who listen to the tape, wherever you are, they are, you may be occupying that space wherever you are, doesn't mean that you are actively involved in your heart with the Lord. Do you let him occupy your heart? Are you doing business with him? God feeds us. Do you grab a hold of what he says and apply it to your life to glorify him? Not yourself. Not yourself. I'm standing here now, but it's not me. It's Christ in me. And I don't take this lightly, standing up here. It's an awesome responsibility. But God laid a message upon my heart, and I wanted to share it. But first, I've got to do business, believe in it before I can present it. Turn to John 15. I'll start with verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So he's occupied in your heart. You have to let him do that work. You have to let him do it, or he won't do it. Don't you want to glorify him, the one who died for you, the one who occupies your heart, the one who died for all of your sins, was buried and rose again, and he's coming back for you too? You can't do anything without him. You can't. If I'm still worrying, fearful, I didn't let God occupy my heart. Worrying, fearful, other kind of things you can think of, you can fill in the blanks. The world can fill in the blanks too. They got a bunch of blanks. If I'm still worrying and fearful of those things, I didn't let God occupy my heart. I didn't take advantage of what God has given me. If I do, there's no room. There's no room for that. Fear or worrying, concerned about my health, financial, or job situations, whatever. God says, occupy until he comes. Occupy. Occupy. Let him possess you. You possess him. Do business with him. He'll do business with you. What a deal that is. Wow. What a partnership that the Creator would want to deal with worms. We heard about that. Worms such as us. This whole being to occupy us, dust. Wow. God doesn't go away. God will never leave us or forsake us. If you're saved, he occupies your heart. Are you a stranger to God in your heart? Are you letting him do that work? Are you occupied with him? Are you focused with him? Are you letting him do that work that only he can do? God doesn't go away. We leave him. We walk away. We don't want to do what God has us to do. When occupied with Christ, you won't shrink back. You will not retreat. You will not surrender. When God is fully, you letting God fully occupy your heart, you're going to go forward in his strength, in his grace, in his mercy. That's where he's going to take you, where he wants you to be. Not where you want to be, where he wants you to be. When I'm occupied with God, and when you're occupied with God, I'm not a loser. You're not a loser either. In closing, what occupies you? What occupies, don't even raise your hand, just think about it. What occupies you? Even here, tonight, even when you come here, are you occupied with God's word? Are you letting God, the Holy Spirit, work in your heart? Or are you preoccupied? Other things are on your mind. You're looking out the window or looking at thinking about things that happen at home or work or wherever. Who occupies you? Here's the difference. Who? I'm getting personal. Who? Even here, who occupies you? Big question in the country. And this will be the last question, statement I'll make. Are you vaccinated or unvaccinated? That's a big question in the country. Number one question. My question. Are you occupied? You may have seen this sign somewhere in the church. Are you occupied with Christ or unoccupied with Christ? I didn't take it off the room that it was. I made copies so that anybody had to use it. It was still available. We're going through some tough times. The country's going through tough times. But I find myself more and more occupied with Christ, doing a work in my heart. The situations may seem dire to the world. They are. But I am so thankful that I'm saved and he's coming back for me any moment. That occupies my heart. He occupies my heart. We're so much closer than we were yesterday. The situation is getting worse rapidly, faster and faster. Things don't even make sense anymore. And people think that it makes good sense. That's nonsense. But when God, if you let God occupy your heart and you're occupied with him, these things, God's in charge. He's in control. And that's who I am trusting in, the one who occupies my heart, I'm going to be occupied with him.